Welcome back to Tawari Mechanach Yomi with Oyu Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Horitz. Today we will conclude our study of Sefer Shoftim 5784. We are in Perech of Aleph, which is the last Perech of the Book of Shoftim. The tribes come to a tragic awareness and a regret that Sheva ben Yamin has been wiped out of Sefer's 600 surviving men. And they realize that they don't want a tribe in Israel to be wiped out. Who will marry the men of the survivors of the tribe of Binyamin, since everyone has taken an oath that they will not give their daughters to the tribe of Binyamin. Perichav Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Le'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah le'imar. Ish mi menu lo yitein bito Binyamin le'isha. And all of the men of Israel who had gathered at mitzvah said, none of us will give our daughter to Binyamin, Sheva Binyamin, to the remainders and the survivors as a wife. Vayavoha am beis el, vayishu sham ad ha'erev lefnei elokim, vayisu kolam, vayivchu b'chi gadol. And they come back to beis el, and they cry a great crying. They lift their voices, and they give a great cry. And this is because of the catastrophe that has befallen Klal Yisrael and the terrible war. They say, Hashem, the God of Israel, why did such a thing happen in Israel? An entire nation is going to be wiped out from Israel. And it was the next day they woke up and they built a mizbech and they brought olos and shlamim. This is after the war is over and Binyamin has been virtually destroyed. They are mourning for what has happened amongst Israel. Pasuk Vav, Vayinochamu b'nei Yisrael al Binyamin achiv. It's very important, something that I focus on very much in my own study and my teaching is Shovah Shom Elashon HaKodesh, Nun Ches Men, Nun Ches Mem, does not mean comfort. It means to regret or to have a change of mind. The first time we see it in Chumash is at the end of Parashas Bereishis, in the beginning of Perek Vav. It's actually in regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayinachem elokim ki asa asa adam. It means to regret or to have a change of mind. And that shorash appears here, actually two times. Vayinachemu b'nei Yisrael al Binyamin achiv. And here, cause Binyamin their brother. B'nei Yisrael had a change of heart. They regretted what happened to Binyamin their brother. Vayomru, and they said, Nigda hayom shevet echad mi Yisrael. We're in Pasuk Vav. They said, a tribe has been cut off today from Israel. Ma nasa lahem lenosum lenashem. What are we going to do? How are they going to marry? Who are they going to marry? Vanachnu nishbanu b'ashem levilti teislam ibnosein lenashem. We took an oath and none of our daughters can marry them. Vayomru miyachad, and they come up with a solution. They say, is there anyone who did not join the war? Was there anyone who was not united with us against Binyamin? Pasuches. Mi achal mishivtei yisrael shalo al el shema mitzvah. Vihine lo ba yishal mecha ne miyavesh gilad el kahal. Pasuches. And they say, which tribe of Israel did not go up to Hashem in mitzvah? And they realized that no men came to the camp from yavesh gilad to the assembly. Pasuk tes, vayis pakeira on vihine ein sham ish miyosh veyavish gilad. They take a count, they take a census of everyone who's gathered in mitzvah after the war, and they see that there is no one there from yavish gilad. So they come up with a solution. Now, before I tell you the solution, I want to quote from the art school in the Nevi'im, okay? Upon investigation, it was found that an entire city, the city of Yavesh Gilad, defied the oath to go together against Binyamin. Given the gravity of such a defiance, the traitors could be put to death, and this could provide a solution for the predicament of Binyamin. The surviving woman of Yavesh Gilad would become the wives of Binyamin, and that's quoting from the Malbim. Lo ba ish miyavesh gilad. They found that no one from Yavesh Gilad had come. Art School Nevi'im continues. The Abarbanel comments that no one from Yavesh Gilad came. Now, they might have been forgiven for not coming to mitzvah. Maybe they were afraid of war. But how come they didn't come to Beis El after to share in the national grief and the soul searching over the tens of thousands of Israel who lost their life? The indifference now made their sin unforgivable. Furthermore, the entire nation through the Sanhedrin, or agreement of all the tribes, has the right to obligate everyone to a course of action, and even to impose death penalty on those who destroy the consensus by violating the national oath to join against the atrocity in Giva, the concubine of Giva, and fighting against Binyamin. The inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad had made themselves liable to most severe sanctions. That's quoting the Ramban. The Netziv defends the action of the tribes here against Yavesh Gilad on the basis of national security in his Ha'amek She'ela. Unless the people remain united, They were in constant danger from invasion, and by breaking this unity, Yahweh's God would be tempting the enemies to attack. This was especially dangerous because Yahweh was a border city and essential to the defense of the country. If its people became estranged from their brethren and refused to be bound by the general consensus, they might even go so far as to ally themselves with foreign enemies. So those opinions are very important because it helps us understand why the Bnei Israel were justified, and what they're about to do is attack Yahweh's Gilad. Therefore, Pasuk Yod, Vayishlichu sham ha'eda shneim asar elef ish mibnei ha'chaya. The congregation now sent 12,000 armed men, soldiers, Vayitzavu asam lemur, the chuvi kisam es yoshve Yahweh's Gilad, the ficharef, the anashim v'atof. These 12,000 soldiers of Israel commanded, go to Yahweh's Gilad, smote them by sword, including the women and the children. How do they come to the count of 12,000? Artskul Nevi'im quotes the Kli Yakar. It is plausible that each of the 12 tribes, including Shevet Levi, contributed 1,000 men to this army as a clear demonstration of the unity that the people of Yahweh's Gilad had undermined. So usually we don't count Levi, but if you count Levi, there's no need to count Binyamin. And then you have 12 tribes who each send 1,000 men. And this is the matter that you shall do, they tell the 12,000 soldiers. Kol zachar, every male, v'chol isha yodas mishkav zachar, and every female who is laid with a man, in other words, not a virgin, tacharimu, you shall destroy. Vayimtzu miyoshve yavish gilad arba meos na'ara basula asher lo yada ish, the mishkav zachar, v'yaviyu osam al machana shilo asher beretz kanan, pasuk yabes. So these soldiers kill everyone in the city, all males and all women who have known laying with a man, and they find 400 virgin women, and they bring them back to Shiloh in the land of Canaan. The Bnei Israel, the entire assembly, now send messengers to the survivors, the 600 survivors of Binyamin who have run to Sela Rimon, the rock of Rimon, where they are hiding out, and they extend a branch of peace, Vayikulam Shalom. And Binyamin comes back at that time. And the Bnei Yisrael give these 400 women from Yahweh's Gilad to the men of Binyamin. However, v'lo matzulam kain, what's the problem? There are 600 survivors. There's only 400 women from Yahweh's Gilad. That leaves 200 men from Binyamin who have no one to marry. V'am nicham l'Binyamin. There's the word again, nicham nun chesmen, pasuk tesvav. The people of Israel have a change of heart towards Binyamin. In other words, they realize they don't want Binyamin to be destroyed like they initially thought. Ki asa Hashem peretz b'shivtei Yisrael. Hashem had made a breach in the tribes of Israel by what? Allowing them to threaten the existence of one of the tribes. And now all these other tribes feel their reaction was too harsh. So the elders say, uh-oh, what are we going to do? There's 200 men of Binyamin who have no one to marry. Ki nishmada b'Binyamin isha. Because there has been destroyed in Binyamin women to marry. Remember, at the end of yesterday's parak, at the end of parak Chav, they send soldiers to the town of Binyamin and they burn and they destroy the city, everything in it. Everything has been destroyed in Binyamin, including the women, except these 600 men. So they don't know what to do. And they say in Pasuk Yud Zayin, there must be some sort of perpetuation for the Pleita, the remainder of Binyamin. And the tribe of Binyamin should not be erased from Israel. However, Pasuk Yud Ches, we can't give them our wives willingly. We took an oath saying, Arur no sein isha le Binyamin. Cursed is the one who gives a wife to Binyamin. So they don't know what to do. They come up with a solution. Vayirmu hinei chag Hashem b'Shiloh miyamim yamima. You know, every year there is a yantif, there's a chag for Hashem in Shiloh. Okay, and what are they going to do? Something very, very interesting. They're going to, okay, I'll tell you the pasuk. I just want to tell you what chag this is. Artskul Nevi'im quotes the Radak, who suggests it may have been Pesach or Sukkot, which the Torah describes as a time of joy, or it may have been Yom Kippur when the Jewish girls went out to the fields wearing white garments. So either way, they say there's a chag to Hashem in Shiloh every year. And what should we do? They command the Bnei Binyamin. They say you should go to this chag, the Arav Tem Bakramim, lay in ambush in the vineyards. Where we eat them, vihine em yetu b'no shido lachul b'mecholos, v'yitzasem in a kramim, v'chataftam lacham ish ishtam b'no shido v'alachtam eretz b'nyamin. When you see that the girls come out to dance in the vineyards, you should come out from the vineyards, you should snatch, you should grab away from the daughters of Shido, and you should go back to the land of Binyamin. I want to quote the Steinsaltz Nevi'im. Many years later, in the Second Temple period, the daughters of Israel observed a similar custom on the 15th of Av, Tu B'Av, and on Yom Kippur. They would dance in the vineyards, and young men of Israel would come and choose wives for themselves. Apparently, this practice was a tribute of sorts to the earlier custom in Shiloh. In the case here, the consent of the dancing woman is presumably not sought. It says the men will grab the woman, whereas the custom in the Second Temple era was performed willingly by the young woman as a method of finding a husband. So they are told her, you should go. When you see them dancing, you should grab the woman, and each one should take a wife for themselves. On the other hand, the art school Nevi'im says, unlike the Steindl's Nevi'im, Elu ve'elu divelo kim chayomei, according to the Kliyakor, it implies the woman would agree to her match. Since we know it's forbidden to marry a woman against her wishes, it must be that these women who were grabbed agree to the match. Pasuk Chavbeis, v'haya ki avo avosam o achem, lariv elenu v'amarnu elem, chaninu osam, ki lo lakachnu ish ishto b'mechama, ki lo atam nasatamem ke'es tashmu. So what's going to be the problem? Once these women are grabbed, their fathers or their brothers will come and they'll complain. We made an oath. We're not giving our daughters to Binyamin. How could my daughter marry Binyamin? But don't worry, you did not give your daughters. You are not culpable. They took your daughters. And this is the solution that they come up with to solve this problem of these men from Binyamin. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayasu came b'nei Binyamin, Vayisu nashum l'mesparim min ha-mecholulos asher gazu. And so the b'nei Binyamin did. And they married women according to their numbers from those who are dancing that they stole from the field, so to speak. Vayehu vayeshuva al nechasam. This is the last three psukim of Sefer Shoftim. They went, they returned to their territory, to their inheritance. Vayivnu es ha'arim, they rebuilt their cities. Vayeshu behem, they dwelled in them. Pasuk Chav Dalet, vayishauchu misham b'nei Yisrael, ba'isi ish l'shivto u'mishpachto, vayitzu misham ish l'nechaso. And now that everything has come to a conclusion, and the war is finished, the civil war is finished, the introspection, the approach to how to deal with the survivors of Binyamin, there seems to be presumably shalom between the tribes at this point. The children of Israel went from that time, each man to his tribe, each man to his family, and each man to his inheritance. Last pasuk of Sefer Shoftim, Perach of Dalet, Perach of Aleph, pasuk Chav Hei, Bayami Mahein, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Be'enov Ya'aseh. How poignant. We've already seen this three times, so it's Shoftim. Once again, the Nevi'im tells us, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. The art school Nevi'im points out, the book ends by repeating the theme that there was no king. Had there been a central leader with the authority to impose his will, the incident of Giva and the resultant dispute between the tribes, quote, could have resolved without a civil war that took over 65,000 lives. That is how Sefer Shoftim closes. It's clearly a more hashkafically difficult book. I think there are a few lessons. One, I have been reiterating the whole time. It's a lesson for myself, and I think a lesson for all of us. A person has to make sure to consult with their rabbanim, with their teachers. We must go to our leaders for guidance. Even if something seems right in our own eyes, we don't have the full wisdom of the Torah perspective to always know what's right according to halacha. And we must make sure when in doubt, and even when not in doubt, when we think we're confident, if there is really a dilemma or a lachuk shayla, we must consult with our leaders and our rabbanim. I think there's another lesson here. I think that Hashem is a baal rachamim, and a nation who strays from God so many times, who is so involved in avodah zarah, who turns from Hashem in this book over and over again, who turns against Hashem's fellow children. There's civil war, there's avodah zarah, there's Pesel Micha, there's turning against God time and again, and yet Hashem clearly takes us back time and again. And I think that's another beautiful lesson from the Sefer Shoftim. As perhaps shameful certain episodes in this book are to the story of Klal Yisrael, Shimshon was brought down by Plishti women. He revealed the riddle because of a Plishti woman. Ultimately, his hair was shorn because of a Plishti woman. Nevertheless, Hashem is always on our side. And I think that one of the surprising themes of Sefer Shoftim is that no matter how much Klal Yisrael strays from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're ready to come back to Him, our loving Father is always ready to take us back to Him. He doesn't abandon Knesset Yisrael. He doesn't abandon Chas V'Shalom Torah Yisrael. And ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not abandon Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's a surprising and underlying theme as well of the book of Shoftim, something that I personally gained from this at times difficult book. It has been a schus and a pleasure and an uplifting journey to study with you together. Lilu and Ishamani Moteno Yakarot, Esther Oppenheimer, La Hasham, Sarah Shankar, La Hasham, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generation. I wish you call Tov, Mazel Tov to everyone who's finishing Sefer Shoftim, Shir Algol Mecheel, Echeel, Bechol Maisei Yadeitchem. Call Tov, and of course, a huge thank you to Rabbitson Dr. Dina Schmidman and the whole team at the OU Women's Initiative for this chus of learning the Sefer together with you. Call to of Dvarim Hayotzi Min Halev, Nechnasim El Halev, Hatzlacha Rabba, and thank you all.